One time I was drunk on a morning show in Montana. The host asked me if I had a nickname. Said my friends call me the Dirtbag King. She said on the air I started giggling. Hasn't had me back, but now I've got this podcast. Welcome to my podcast. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. My name's Charles Ellsworth, and you're listening to A Dirtbag's Guide to Life on the Road. If you're not familiar with me, that's all right. You're definitely not the only one. I'm a songwriter first, musician second, somewhere down the line, filmmaker. Pretty much, I just like to tell stories. Some people have called me a jack of all trades, master of none, and I'm definitely semi-professional at everything I do. Nothing single-handedly makes me a living, but it all adds up to getting by. Hey, what's happening, dirtbags? Thanks for tuning in. This is your host, Charles Ellsworth, and I'm just stoked to be here right now. I hope you're all having a wonderful Tuesday is when this airs. Wonderful whatever day you're listening to it on, because you don't have to listen to it when it airs. This week I got an interview with my good friend Matt C. White. He's an insanely talented musician, guitarist. He's like the most prolific person I know. He puts out records like at the rate in which I write songs. It's crazy. So I've always really looked up to him for that, and we've just always gotten along really well. The first time he went on tour, I actually wrangled him into coming out west and playing drums with me on a run through Idaho, Montana, and Utah and Colorado, and it snowed the entire time, and he'd never been out west, and he was just like just an absolute delight to have on the road. Matt's always a good time, always willing to have a good time, and it was great to sit down and have a conversation with him for the first time in months. It's been a long time since he and I hung out, so I think we had a really great talk. What's cool about Matt is he's seen both sides of the dirtbag's life and like a professional life. When I first met him, and we talk about this in the episode, he was working at an advertising firm in the pharmaceutical industry, and yeah, his life now is so much different. Now he just makes music for the most part. He does some graphic design as a freelancer, but his instrumental music just started taking off at some point, and he just capitalized on it in a way that I think a lot of artists struggle to have that confidence. And Matt's always just had a kind of confidence about him that I've really looked up to, and I think you all really enjoy, and hopefully it rubs off, because anyone could really benefit from looking at life through Matt C. White's eyes a little bit more, I think. Maybe not too much, because he's a kind of a crazy son of a bitch in the best way possible, and not everyone could handle it, but he's just got a really cool approach to life I'm just happy that he's my friend. So I'm excited for you guys to hear this conversation we had. This podcast, or this episode, is in a way sponsored by my new record, Honeysuckle Summer. This Friday, well, depending on when you're listening to it, but February 5th, 2021, is the first Bandcamp day of the year. So I've decided to open up pre-orders for the vinyl and some select merchandise of my new record, Honeysuckle Summer, and I am so fucking stoked to have you all hear this record. We went into the studio almost a year ago. This time last year, I was scrambling to try and put the finishing touches on some of the songs, and I mean, one of the songs I was just completely rewriting, and then trying to teach it to the band. It was a really exciting time, and then, you know, we all know how 2020 went. But I'm just so stoked for you guys to finally hear this record, and I would really, really love it if you would go to my Bandcamp on Friday, February 5th, and pre-ordered the vinyl and possibly got yourself one of the limited edition merchandise items we will have available. It would really help me out. I've got a lot of time and money invested in this record, and I mean, at this point, I already feel like it's a 100% success, because I've never been more stoked about how something I made turned out. And so for me, that's a success. Like, that's what you're always striving for and going for. But we do live in a world where you know, you need money to pay your bills and to eat and whatnot. So any support as far as that goes, pre-ordering the record, streaming it when it's out, and sharing it with your friends. I think this record is more than anything I've ever made is the most relatable thing, is more relatable. I think you could share it with anyone from, if you've got like a hip grandpa or your dad's really into Springsteen, but also would like kind of dig Dr. Dog, I think this record is kind of up your alley. So my producer and good friend Joe Reinhardt, he said about it, if Tom Petty had gone to Nashville instead of LA, this is what you would have got. And I couldn't agree more. So, and that was like a huge honor to hear from Joe. That's what I strive for, is as twangy Tom Petty. So, thanks so much for listening. That's our plug for the week. Check out my Bandcamp this Friday, February 5th, and pre-order Honeysuckle Summer on vinyl. It's coming in a transparent blue limited edition vinyl, the first 200 copies, or you can order the special edition one, and there's only 200 of them, so be sure and reserve your copy. Thanks so much for all the support and for listening, and I can't wait for y'all to get into this conversation with my good friend Matt C. White. Enjoy. Well, welcome to A Dirtbag's Guide to Life on the Road. This is your host, Chuck, the Wildcat Chuck Charles himself, and I got my friend Matt C. White here, and Matt's a really talented dude. Plays guitar in the band Grandpa Jack.
Played drums in Grandpa Jack.
Or you played drums in Grandpa Jack? Oh, I forgot about that.
I wish they would let me play guitar in Grandpa Jack, but they say I have to stay behind the kit.
Could you play guitar and drums at the same time?
I tried. It doesn't work out.
I was gonna say, if anyone I know could do it, Matt White could do it.
No, they threatened to kick me out of the band when I did that.
And then you're like, I am the band.
I have like a double neck guitar.
Yeah.
Playing drums and double neck guitar.
You're like Dave Mustaine in Megadeth. Like.
I sound like him too. Been working on it.
Fuck yeah. Well, okay. So Matt plays drums in Grandpa Jack.
See?
He is the creative force behind Matt C. White, because he is Matt C. White.
I am, yeah.
And what does a C stand for?
Carl.
Not Christian?
No.
Okay.
Carl.
Just making sure.
It was Christian. I had it changed.
No Christians allowed.
Yeah, no Christian names.
Yeah, he got his name changed because he wanted to come on the podcast. Yeah. okay, let's see. Also, the mind behind Realizer, the ambient instrumental guitar,
yep.
Folk, and not just folk. It's all kinds of stuff.
It's yoga.
Instrumental yoga music.
Yeah, chill beast to chill to.
Yeah. And what am I missing? What else have you got?
There's a whole bunch
Dead
of...
Dead Seconds?
Yeah. There's Blue Merle, which is more just ambient. There's Burma, which is like lo-fi beats. There's a whole bunch of things. If ever I want to try a new genre out, I just make up a person. I just keep it on the hush.
Just make a new...
moniker.
Moniker, that's the word.
See.
Not to be confused with Monica.
It's often confused with Monica.
Well, okay, so now that we've established that your name is Monica Carl White. Matt Carl White, where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from a small town outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, called Clayton.
Clayton, North Carolina.
Yes.
And... What's your family like? You got siblings?
I have a younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, dad.
Uh-huh. Mom and dad still together?
Yep.
Dope. And what's growing up in Clayton like? Paint me a little bit of a picture of.
So I lived in the back of like a golf course community that was slowly on the decline. It was like Clayton is kind of a suburb of Raleigh, so there were like a lot of big plans for Clayton and a lot of like development that just kind of like petered off.
Oh, okay.
So I was like third house from the end, the road just sort of dead ends, and then it's just like cornfields. And then on the other side of my house, it's just state park. It's like parkland called Clemens State Park. But yeah, I don't know, pretty normal. No sidewalks, riding bikes, a lot of like dirt paths and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Creek.
A creek?
Go play at the creek, yeah. A little rope swing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So pretty out in the dirt, out in the woods, just like yeah. outside.
Yeah, childhood. I mean, it's not like, it's definitely not the middle of nowhere, really, but it's like, there's a lot of tobacco fields and cornfields, and like, you can't walk anywhere. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If you like, you can't walk to a store.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like a 10-minute drive to go to the gas station.
You go get a candy bar. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And about what age did you start playing music? Was like music something that your family always did and was around, or?
Well, my mom played guitar when she was younger, and then my sister is like a visual artist, but she doesn't really do music, but I just remember always, like, some of my earliest memories are, like jingles and stuff from, like, when you're a kid. And oh, okay. they just, like, I couldn't let them go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just, like, in my head all the time. And I was always, like I maybe, like, kind of fidgety. So, like, whistling and snapping and, like, totally. Things like that. I was just, like, all about it. You yeah. know what I mean? Beatboxing and stupid stuff like that. And then when I was 10, my parents got me a guitar.
Oh, cool.
For my birthday. And that's kind of the beginning of that, you know, like songwriting proper.
Uh-huh. Did you just jump right in with like lessons, or were you kind of self-taught?
My mom knew a couple chords, so that was the start. And then I did do lessons for a little bit, and then the guy flaked. And then
classic musician.
Yeah, I know, right? Had to pay bills and stuff, I guess. but then I started playing guitar with a neighbor, like my friend's dad. He played guitar, and he was into like just like Southern rock stuff. Uh-huh. So I would learn like Skinner songs and stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. After I got an electric guitar.
Yeah, I feel like the intro riff to Sweet Home Alabama is actually like one of the first things I learned.
That. Oh, I think I was a Smoke on the Water kid, unfortunately.
Well, Smoke on the Water was actually the first thing I learned for sure.
Yeah.
But like one of the first, like, oh, this is actually kind of a complex riff. There's like, there's more than just Smoke on the Water going on.
Yeah. You
know? There's like multiple strings.
Yeah. Yeah, like double stops.
Yeah, totally.
That and Gimme Three Steps was a,
oh,
that
nice.
Was a, that was a first. That was up there. But yeah.
Hell yeah. As far as you mentioned, like jingles that would really get stuck in your head, was do you have any like specific you can think of that you can remember, or do you have, are there specific songs that like maybe like as you got older?
It's like Pop Goes Perfection, Perplexion, or whatever. Yeah, like Don't Wake Daddy. Like there's like a million, you know.
Yeah.
Is it Water on the Knee? Operation. Like, oh, it's just like, God. Like to this day. To
you
this
can
day.
Remember them perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit. That's a oh man, I was thinking Pizza Bagels the other day.
Pizza like, in the morning, pizza.
Yeah, dude,
it's genius.
So good. It's so
it,
good.
When it is on a
when
bagel, it's like
on
you can
a
have
bagel.
It.
You can have it anytime.
I mean, you can have pizza anytime anyways. But...
Well, if we live in New York City, that is a nice thing.
Yeah.
I ate so much pizza yesterday because it was just NFC and AFC championship, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
I'm just going to have a...
I don't do a lot of pizza. Well, it's because if I do it, it's like the cheap slice, and it's because I'm busy. You know what I mean? Or like I'm on the go, and I'm like, oh, I can just walk and eat this trash.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't want to... Because I've maybe eaten out at a restaurant less than 5 times in the past like 10 months because of the whole pandemic.
Right.
And I like cooking at home, but yesterday I was just like, kind of had a rough weekend and was, I'm just like, fuck it, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not even going to like do yoga today. I'm just going to like fucking hang out, watch football, smoke pot, and eat pizza. So I walked to the grocery store. So I guess I did go to the grocery store, but I bought like 3 of those like Red Baron pizzas. And like,
oh, nice.
Me and my roommate and I just like, That's what we did all day. Watch football and ate those pizzas.
Nice. No yoga today, boys.
No yoga today. Sorry. Sorry, Giovanni. I imagine my yoga alter ego's name is Giovanni. I don't know why.
It sounds more like your pizza alter ego.
A little bit of both. Pizza yoga. It's a style. I studied it in Naples with a master pizza yogi. Yogi is like an influencer Instagram account that's like not famous yet, but I'm sure there's one that exists. It's like,
you just need a jingle, man.
Yeah,
that's what you really need.
Pizza's in a yogi.
Nailed it.
You can have inner pizza all the time.
Inner pizza is genius. Dude, there's no way that we're the first. Somebody else has done this.
We're not that smart.
Yeah, no.
We're clever, but
yeah.
Oh man, getting a little distracted. This is great. Most of the interviews I've done lately have been over the phone, so having you in person,
yeah,
just makes it better. And also, you and I haven't seen each other.
I know it's been forever.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Last time I saw you, I was borrowing, I think all of your hand percussion stuff.
Oh yeah,
for a record that's like to put on a record that's coming out soon, or might be already out by the time this episode is out. And that record took a year to put out. So
it was so funny. I was like the last time I talked to you was like, hey man, I really need those shakers.
It's funny,
I'm really missing my maraca.
We share a bass player and a practice bass, but we don't see each other because of the pandemic.
Yeah,
because so of fucking COVID. Yep. Okay. Anyway, sorry. We're back on track with this highly professional podcast we've got here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So pizza, bagels, and board games.
Yeah.
Or what? I know your mom kind of helped inform your early music taste a lot, like, because she listened to a lot of or at least the singing style, like,
yeah. And there was like a kind of, some of the early memory, or like the earliest memories I have are from like daycare, and I remember we would go to the pool and the concession stand was on like the alt rock station always, and so there's all this like Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Nirvana-y stuff that like I never knew the words for, but it would be like in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then in like middle school I realized, oh, these are all the same dudes, you know what I mean? Like, oh,
okay, yeah,
this, I really like this cross section of rock time,
you totally
know? And my mom is like, she's like classic rock, and but also she would like dabble in stuff, you know what I mean? So she would like really like one Nirvana song,
uh-huh,
and play it a lot and stuff like that. And then from there, she was like my gateway.
Yeah. Well, and then back then also, it's like you either had cassettes or CDs. So
yeah,
like,
totally.
Unless you're like frantically changing cassettes and CDs. Like,
yeah,
if you're going to listen to one Nirvana song, you're going to hear a few.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Oh, that's cool. And from there, so you get a guitar at 10 and you start playing,
mm-hmm,
and what's it look like as you start getting into high school? Like, you get into different types of music, you starting to learn, like, get more technical on the guitar?
Yeah, I started, so high school also is the it's when I joined jazz band. I was in jazz band playing guitar for all 4 years of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning of like more improvisation and like bar chords and finger picking and comping and stuff like that. Because before that, I would like jam with friends, but they really liked Blink 182 or what, you know, and mm-hmm, I just wasn't.
Yeah. Pop punk wasn't really doing it for you.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I'm
saying it.
There's some pop punk that I'm like, I went through a phase, and there's some that I'll still like always love, but it's always like on the more emo side of things, like the Get Up Kids
and stuff like that. There's like a lot of people, you know, like even in our age group and stuff, or I guess especially our age group, that they love that shit, and I just don't get it, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Like, I'm not going to sit here and hate on Blink 182 because I have so many friends that like love that band.
Podcast.
Like, fucking love that band.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, but I just never really, got super into it. The first song I ever played live with a band was at the 7th grade talent show.
Damn it.
And we played Damn It.
Yeah.
We also played Johnny B. Good. No, that's the Adam song? No, Damn It.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess...
It's got hooks. Like, you totally get why people love it, but it never really got me.
You know, he's boss. Did he die? He died, right?
No, he just got an insane plane crash where he, like, half of his body got burnt up and shit.
I like that about, I mean, he started doing, like, hip-hop production stuff. That's cool.
Totally. Well, I think, in a weird way, and any drummers out there can fucking shoot me for this, but no. Like, the ultimate, like, I don't know, if you're taking drumming to, like, that level, like, eventually you're going to get to where you're trying to just make, like, these really heavy-hitting, yeah, like, hip-hop beats. Like,
totally.
I don't know. I just feel like that's, like, where the extreme, like, one of ends of the spectrum of beats lies.
Totally, yeah. And now with technology, it's like, I mean, you have the option of recording live acoustic drums and then triggering samples and layering them, or you just trigger samples from the Git.
Yeah.
And right now it's like, you can pay for like a library of like some old 60s Gretsch kit recorded in a church. Mm-hmm. And you play on electronic kit and it just sounds like, you're just like, well, that's the sound of a snare, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That is it, you know?
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, I know you can do that now, and I'm just barely getting into recording my own acoustic guitars and yeah, things like that. And like kind of programming beats.
I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm getting into it. I think the hardest part is letting go of the idea that like acoustic drums are pure and the way it's supposed to be, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
like,
yeah,
being like, well, it's not cheating, I'm still playing, and it's just taking advantage of the times,
of what's available.
You know what I mean? Yeah, because like, I'm sure when the electric guitar came out, people were like, that's fucking cheating.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Have you seen how many death threats Bob Dylan got for playing a Telecaster at the fucking Newport Folk Festival?
I love Bob Dylan, though.
Oh, yeah, you fucking hate Bob Dylan.
Let's talk about that.
I'm not even going to bring up Bob Dylan. All right. You're like, I haven't.
Have you seen it? No, I haven't poured through the data myself.
Yeah. Wow, 6 death threats just today. Jesus, this podcast is gonna be great because you and I, like, we could just not talk about anything but just like make each other laugh for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. No, I think there's something, like, anyone who's gonna be a purist about it, like, I get it and I understand, like, the whole trying to do everything analog, like Bob, who mixed our Rose Door record.
Right.
And, you know, I love what he does. And he used to be way more purist than he is now. But I think eventually you start to realize, like, any innovation as far as music goes has always been met with some form of resistance from classicalists or traditionalists.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know how hip-hop was fucking invented? Was like kids couldn't afford instruments, so they just figured out how to make music using like music that already existed.
Totally.
You know, just like looping records that their parents had and shit like that, which is like, and don't sit there and tell me that shit's not music and doesn't take fucking skill.
Hip-hop
and,
rules, bro.
Dude, hip-hop's the shit.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's fucking crazy that like, I don't know, people would deny that like, oh, well, you use triggered drums or whatever. It's like, fuck it, who cares? And not all of us can afford to go fucking record at Abbey Road or what the fuck.
Yeah. I'm trying to self-record, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is, like, you could play it for somebody and it's almost like I feel this guilt that I've used triggered drums. And so I, like, tell them ahead of time and I've kind of let that go. So now I just play it for people and I'm just like, hey, this is this, blah, blah, blah. And nobody's like, those don't sound real, you know, because they were real. They were recorded in a church and blah, 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 you know, like I performed it, you know, I did it, but I'm hitting plastic pads that then send electronic signals to whatever.
Totally. And that's, I mean, you're playing metal strings that send vibrations through magnets that make,
you know
what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, that it's crazy. I still think about a lot what you told me years ago about like how a guitar and an amplifier and like, it's all like just rare earth materials.
Yeah, totally.
Like that's just making these sounds. Like they're rare earth materials that are like
It's a collection of consolidated metals reacting with one another that makes rock music. It's like the pickups are aluminum, nickel, cobalt with a copper wire wrapped around it that your steel guitar string is vibrating over that disrupts your magnetic field and it makes, you know, Foxy Lady or whatever, it's crazy.
It's fucking wild. I still think about that a lot when I'm playing guitar, especially, and I don't know, and it's
vibrations, man.
Vibrations, dude. I read like Captain Beefheart's like list of like the laws of having a like an acoustic or an electric guitar or something like that. And one of them is just like something about like it's a lightning pole to hell or something like that, and like you should wield it to just make as much fucking noise as you possibly can. Dude, it's just,
I like that.
I don't know. It was pretty cool. Like he had this list of 10 things of like the gospel of the electric guitar, and that was my favorite one. And I like learned how to be like. I used to be really tentative playing electric guitar when we used to jam and whatnot.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, no, that's what you just make fucking noise with.
Yeah.
It, you know?
Yeah. There's like a fearlessness in all the artists that we love the most because they were just like, fuck it. I got like the sonic axe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's feeding back. That's fun. That's listen to this crazy loud noise I can make. Yeah. I can't yell this loud, yeah, you know. Totally. Like
if I could, I would be.
Yeah, I've tried.
Oh man, that's I love that perspective on music. Or just a lot of times when we were jamming together, you were leaning into that sounds gross or that sounds ugly or that's, you know what I mean, like the sound that like. That's the opposite of what like a pop star would be going for.
It's
like resonating in a weird way or something.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I like stuff like that because I think at the end of the day, it's not that I really want to write popular music, but I like catchy. You know what I mean? And I think what reminds you that something is catchy is when it's juxtaposed with something kind of ugly.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
You have an ugly thing right next to a very pretty thing. You're like, wow, that's very attractive to me for some reason. It's because I've been playing ugly chords for like 30 seconds straight, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I like that.
No, that juxtaposition is really cool. And a lot of what you do with, I feel like Grandpa Jack and Matsy White is kind of...
Yeah, I don't know where, I don't know when that started or what made me gravitate towards that, but I really like it's like dark or like the lyrics are like ugly or creepy or like murderous, but like isn't this fun, you know, like there's totally. Still I don't like one band that I got really into that kind of like is perfect for that is like the Toadies.
Oh yeah.
I just got really into the Toadies when I was younger and it's like it just checks off all the boxes. It's like grungy, they're from Texas, so there's like southern twangy shit, and then it's like creepy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like it's like a weird uplifting heavy love ballad but from the perspective of some outsider.
Yeah.
Creep.
No, that's I feel that way about like Murder by Death. That's yeah. like for
never,
me in high school.
I never
school,
really got into them.
I like in high school, that was what I got into.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but I was just texting with my couple of buddies from high school that I still stay in touch with. And we were talking about how, like, on it's not Murder by Death's first record, but like on their record, Who Will Survive and What Will Be Left of Them, they're. The dude from Thursday has guest vocal spots.
Oh, I remember Thursday.
And the dude from My Chemical Romance. And, like, that record came out in 2006. Like, yeah. way earlier than 2006. Like, I don't even know. But it was just, like, and I don't know. Two bands that don't really play anymore. They do reunion tours, maybe, like My Chemical Romance and Thursday. Back in the day, they were way more popular. But Murder by Death is just still chugging along, just making this, like, weird, almost Baroque-ian, like, but not, like, American folk, dark, gothic, whatever.
Is it acoustic-y or is it like...
I mean, there's a cello in the band, but but it's also really fucking heavy at times. You know what I mean? But the dude sings like Johnny Cash sometimes. Like, my favorite record that I got into in high school, Who Will Survive and What Will Be Left of Them, it's the story of like a zombie apocalypse set in a Western town.
That's how I know this band is having a similar conversation with you before.
Yeah,
for sure.
They're like... But yeah, it's similar. It's where it just kind of checks all the boxes.
Yeah,
it's like
weird
and creepy. It's melodic as fuck.
Yeah.
It's got storytelling.
You get something stuck in your head, like a lyric, and then you realize you're singing about killing somebody.
Yeah,
or
like three men hanging from a sycamore. Yeah, like, oh shit, that's fucking dark.
Yeah, I don't know really what started that, but I love that shit.
I think being like an angsty young boy or something like that, just like having this like, and not that I'm saying it's like a great thing about men, but you know, that just like,
yeah,
there can be an inherent like, or maybe we're not really taught much about how to express ourselves other than being like angry or aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I think so. I also like yell a lot in my music, and I'm not even necessarily angry. It's just feels good to yell. You know what I mean? It's cathartic. Just like, yeah, I'm just like, fuck it.
Totally.
Yelling. Because like, that's something, like people don't yell. You know what I mean? Like people who don't yell in their music or whatever, like you could go years without screaming at the top of your lungs, and it only happens in like, I don't, like, oh my god, a rat, or like, what, you know, like,
yeah, or you're fighting with like a significant other,
right,
or something like that.
And I just get to do it all the time for fun.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's dope.
Dude, I was the other day having like, just woke up in a shit mood, like I was even writing my morning pages and just like, I don't know why, but today I'm just fucking angry. Like, everything was just like not okay. And then, you know, we went, of course, it's on the day we go grocery shopping, which can sometimes be one of the most stressful days of the week.
Yeah. Grocery shopping in New York is something.
Yeah. And I make it through all of groceries without like any confrontation. And then on the drive back, like I kind of like lost it on my roommate for a second. You know, just like,
oopsie.
Not really like lost it, but you know what I mean, just kind of snapped at him. And then
and it
was just kind of like and I couldn't put my finger on what the deal was with the day, but luckily had band practice that afternoon. And within like 5 minutes into playing guitar and just yelling into a microphone, it was like, everything's fine, I feel great.
Yeah,
I feel amazing.
Yep.
And some people don't have that.
No. Yeah it's, yeah, you get the release.
So, speaking of New York City, how did you end up here? Like, where did you go to college, and what was the path to getting to where you have to deal with rats and grocery shopping in New York City?
I went to NC State. I went to NC State.
Wolfpack?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's not even that crazy. It's just like it's like my ex, her dad worked in marketing and knew some people that could hook up a summer internship, basically. And so I interned here and I stayed in like NYU dorms.
Nice.
For like, I don't know, a month, 2 months or something like that.
Was this like the summer after college or like during?
It was my junior year of college.
Okay.
And I remember being like, I remember not wanting to do it and then talking to friends and stuff, and they're like, oh, you get to go to New York City? Just do it. And I was like, but I want to go to the beach all summer, you know, like, whatever. And same as I was like, fuck it, I'll just do it. And then after I graduated, I looked around for jobs in Raleigh doing what I thought I wanted to do, which would be like some form of marketing or advertising. And it's just like, just internship. Ville, like unpaid, like, come in an interview and we're gonna, you know, shit all over you, and basically you just go get coffee and work in Excel and blah blah blah. And so I hit up people that I had interned with, and they were like, when can you come interview? And then I interviewed, and then they were like, can you start in 2 weeks? And so I was like, yes. And I, like, some random friend at the time, his cousin had an opening in his apartment in Astoria, and I just like flew with two Czech bags and was just like, I live here now.
Yeah.
Basically.
And what year was that?
2011.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you've been here almost a decade now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a decade this July.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was weird. I didn't know anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I'm living in a new place and I'm just kind of like, just nothing but free time. Uh-huh. And that's kind of when I picked back up with music. Because I put it down a little bit in college, honestly.
Oh, okay.
And then I had all this free time and I just started doing open mics and Craigslisting the shit out of random people and trying to like figure out how to navigate playing in a band or playing with other musicians.
Okay. You know? And you'd never really been in like a band before?
I was in a band in high school. Reggae band called The Breeze.
The Breeze.
I know. I didn't want to say it. I knew it was going to come up at some point. But yeah, I played in a reggae band called The Breeze.
Were you the hype man with the flag or?
Yeah. No, I was like, it was one of those bands where like we were just all guitarists basically.
Yeah.
And there was a drummer. So we just like passed around a bass, you know, just took turns.
It was a reggae band. You just have a fucking, you're white dudes in a reggae band. So you just have a good fucking time playing reggae music.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
But yeah, so I moved here and then that was like the beginning of Dead Seconds, and Dead Seconds was just like the name for whatever I was doing musically pretty much. Like it started out being like I played mandolin sometimes, you know, like we would just do like open mics and little things like that.
Okay, yeah.
And then started just playing more and more electric guitar with it, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
I feel like I met you, excuse me. Oh, I met you at the show in the apartment you live in now.
Yeah.
That was Captain Wizard played that show. The now defunct Captain Wizard, Dead Seconds played that show. And I played like a handful of ukulele tunes. Like
how funny is it how like momentous that night was with not even realizing. So I meet you that night.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start playing music with you,
So,
you know, in the future, whatever.
Yeah, 2-3 years later.
Captain Wizard stops being a band, and now I play drums for them and Grandpa Jack.
Yeah, because two of the guys from Captain Wizard, their drummer, well, it was a three-piece. Their drummer moved to Atlanta like a few months later.
Yeah, he just like peaced out.
And like I met you that night, you and Steve, and you. I remember you introducing yourself to me and be like, we should play together sometime. And I was like, yeah, that'd be dope. And then we didn't really, and I never follow up with people because I'm socially awkward and whatnot. And then you're playing with Grandpa Jack a few years down the road. And I don't know, it's just wild that it was just this random night where there's just like plenty of beer in a loft in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I think there's just like pockets of, well, when there's like a pocket of people who are doing creative stuff who are just like somewhat like-minded maybe, or their musical path has been similar, it just happens. Because like I met the Captain Wizards, now Grandpa Jack dudes, in my old practice space where Dead Seconds practiced, you know, and that's how I met them. And it just happened to be like, this practice space has a lot of like heavy bands or like post-punk or like psych bands.
Yeah.
And it just like worked out, you know.
Totally.
It was just like, oh, we can all work together. We're all on mission loud music, you know, loud
we
intense music.
We play shows
music
together and friends and
yeah.
Dude, that's the thing I love about music. I mean, one of the many things, like, when I started putting together shows in high school, just for a thing that was mainly just to give something for kids to do in my high school, because there was not a whole lot going on in my town. And so we would, I would put on these shows, get these touring bands to come in. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but was like immediately meeting these bands that I looked up to, and them being, and because my band was opening for them, them being like, come to Phoenix and play a show. Come to do, you know, and like just the community that, and it just opened up my world immediately as like this 17-year-old kid who didn't really know many people outside of my hometown. Within like 3 or 4 months, I got friends in California in bands.
That's cool. Lucky's not the word. Fortunate might be the word, but that's like not something that I ever had. Like, I mean, the first time I really toured was with you. And it's just like a cool, I mean, it's just like in hindsight, I should have done that earlier. You know, it's just like, just to exactly like you're saying, to like have friends in a place that can help you out. You know what I mean? When you go through there and tour, blah, blah, blah. It's like you started mad early and that's cool.
Yeah, totally. I wasn't always really good about.
But you made the leap. You know, you did it. You threw yourself into the void. You
know? For sure. Yeah. No, and I think it was just, I was talking about this the other day with my roommate. Is like around the time we would have graduated college, like 2011 or whatnot.
Yeah.
I was just looking around. I'm like, there's no jobs. Like I couldn't find a fucking job. And all the ones that I, like the little bit I could find, it was like, because I had studied film and it was all the same, like, oh, 6-month internship, unpaid.
Yeah, how does one do that? How do you do that? Unless you're just rich. Yeah.
I worked 2 or 3 jobs all through college. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean? Like, it was an internship. It's like, no, motherfuckers, I got to start making fucking money.
It didn't make sense to me. Like, I mean, like, okay, so I did the internship here, but that was paid vacation in my mind. It's like, okay, I work, but this is what I get. I get paid vacation essentially, and I get to go to New York City for the first time and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I graduated and people were like, yeah, you know, you're going to work fucking 8-hour days and be my slave for free. It's like, why the fuck would I do that?
Totally. You know, we need you to do this to get the experience. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to go hit the road and play music.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I just, it was just like, well, what I do have control over is the number of emails I send to random venues in fucking Tulsa. I don't have control over whether or not, like, this unpaid internship is going to turn into a job or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That was, I think I kind of, like, I don't know if I ever planned on being a musician, but just graduating into the economy we did, it was just like, oh, this is, I'm just going to do this. I'm gonna just.
I definitely didn't plan on being a musician, but there was a turning point when I felt like, oh, I'm never going to be better at anything else. You know what I mean? There's a moment
where I remember talking to you about that.
Yeah, where I was like, it's like, sure, I do graphic design and sure, I could learn how to sail or whatever. But it's like, I got so much time and it's like, I'm not going to be better at any of that shit. Like,
totally.
You know, there's nothing I've been doing longer than thinking about melodies or playing guitar or humming or what. You know what
For
I mean?
Sure, yeah. I mean, 10 years old or 12, 10 years old is when you got your first guitar.
Yeah.
I was 12 when I picked up guitar, but I'd been playing piano for years before that. And so, yeah, it's like, what do you start doing at 10 years old that you still do now? Other than like tie your shoes and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides playing guitar. Yeah. So dude, it totally makes sense. And that, well, that's really what part of what I wanted to talk to you about was the whole you, like, when I first met you, you were working in this, the marketing world, like,
yeah.
working for in like pharmaceutical marketing,
yeah.
as a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Great job. You were making a pretty good living. Like,
I was stoked. I mean, when I got that job, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, okay, whatever. They like, when I first started, they were like, your salary is $50,000 a year. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
I can keep it, you know?
Like, I get all of that?
Like, yeah, so like,
well, no, taxes and shit like that, but yeah.
So like, yeah, you know, like on paper, a great job, but just soul sucking.
Well, and how many years did you spend there?
Well, I didn't work at the same agency, but doing shit like that, I think six
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember by the end of it, you were pretty burnt out. Like, you were like, I make good money and I'm like happy about that. And I can pay my bills and explore these random hobbies that I get.
Yeah.
And these like,
I can buy guitars.
I can buy. And it's, but you were just like, but I fucking hate going to work every day.
It was bad. Oh, well, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to bitch about a job, you know, like, but it was, I reached a point where like, I didn't care. And like, I just started not trying. And there were like no repercussions for not trying. Yeah. So it was just like this hardcore, like sort of downward spiral where I just didn't go to meetings, or I would just like get drunk at work in the stairwell, and like nothing bad happened. Yeah. Like there was absolutely no downside to this, and I was like, "Well, this is fucked. Like, I can't even get these guys to fire me." Like,
yeah, yeah. No, that's so. There, what do you attribute the whole? Because I've been in the corporate world a little bit, just as like a freelancer, but I've never like worked to where I was protected by like fucking human resources or whatever. Like,
right, right.
So like, what does that look like? Are there no repercussions because like nobody notices? There's just so much red tape that like,
or is no, it because... it's like, well, first of all, like pharmaceutical shit, there's just so much money. Like it's this huge cash cow that everyone is suckling from, and everyone is like low key, like grinding gears and spinning wheels to milk it harder.
And to make sure that their job, like to make it like my job is necessary.
Yeah.
Do people used to in meetings just say shit just to be like, well, I gotta remind people that I'm here.
Totally.
And it's like you're not saying useful shit. You're just saying shit.
Yeah, that and like people who really like this was their jam. You know what I mean? Like that. Like their job is
their whole life.
And it just kind of reached a point where like I was trying to be like. I was trying to show like coworkers, like, you know, this doesn't matter, right? Like the client says we have to have this to them by midnight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking why? Yeah. And people are looking at me like I'm a fucking Martian. They're like, I'm like, no, but seriously, why? What the fuck
are they gonna do with it at midnight?
Yeah, why? Yeah. You know? What is pushing
them? What's the difference between midnight and 8 a.m.?
And what's pushing them is like, I'm the best fucking pharmaceutical advertising editor this side of the Mississippi, you know, like, and it's just like, why?
I have the corner office in New York City or whatever.
Yeah. there's like, unbeknownst to listeners, there's like a moth flying around just the room flying. Right now that we've been just like swatting at this whole time.
Yeah. And I just like smacked my microphone trying to get it. I think it, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, it's just weird. And there's a lot of people, like a lot of the bosses that are higher up are like, they don't actually do anything except for like sit in on meetings and give opinions and like tout themselves and their underlings and say that things are going to take longer to get done than they're actually going to get done. You know what I mean? Like it's just like everyone's just milking, you know, like.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I get what you mean. I've done a lot of work with as like a video editor for other, you know, similar type of stuff, marketing agencies where our clients and whatnot.
Yeah.
And there's just so much overhead with a lot of those companies, I imagine, that it's like there's so much money, like you said.
Yeah.
And then there's so much overhead as far as like the office and the salary of like the guy up top and then the guy under him and the guy under, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. I mean,
all the way down that like everybody just like keeps holding this thing together that doesn't like, you're like, at the end of the day, it's like, what are we actually accomplishing? Like we put out a couple pictures like a month.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's the other. That's the like the sec. Like the why. The why I kept. You know, like these people are like losing their shit over this deadline for this fucking brochure that's gonna get promptly thrown in the trash. You know what I mean? Like we're flipping out, and the client is paying us hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
To make this trifold. 7x5, you know, insert blah, blah, card for these doctors who are going to be like, why the fuck is this on my desk?
Yeah, you got.
Why is this on my, throw it in the trash, you know, like, I don't know, I just.
So walk me through what happens after you start being like, okay, music's the best thing, the thing I'll never be better at anything than I am at music.
Right.
And I hate my job, I'm not going to be able to live if I keep living like this, you know, right. Getting drunk at work and whatnot, like something's got to give.
Right. So what happened next was I put like a deadline on my quit date. It's like, I know I hold these facts to be true. I need to not be here, right? Yeah,
this is going
to
kill me if I
stay. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, July, I'm quitting in July. And then I got laid off in June and got severance pay for the entire month. So I got to skip out early and still got paid as if though I was quitting in July.
Yeah.
And then I started doing freelance graphic design. And that's when kind of where I am with music stuff was born, pretty much. I'm doing freelance graphic design. It's getting a little harder to make ends meet. I have a shit ton of guitars. You remember this?
Yeah, you used to build guitars.
Yeah, I would build them or buy whatever. I would just buy junk guitars.
At any given time, this dude had like 12 guitars hanging on his wall.
Yeah. So... I'm like, cool, I got to sell like half of these. Yeah,
I got to eat.
Yeah. So I start like, I'm selling shit on Craigslist, and this guy, he's trying to buy a Jazzmaster, and we go back and forth a little bit. He doesn't end up buying it, but in my email signature is this a link to this record that I made that was just like ambient experimental shit under the name Realizer. And the dude's name is Kyle McAvoy, and he's like, this is cool. I think I know a way for us to make money. I'm starting like a sort of ambient record label, or like neoclassical kind of, you know, instrumental guitar, instrumental piano, ambient sounds. And I think we can work together on this. And then so we start sort of like honing in on what Realizer could sound like pretty much just to make money. You know what I mean? Like I enjoy making it. You know, at the end of the day, I'm like playing guitar and it's nice, you know?
When you've learned a lot about engineering since you started doing this.
Sure. Yeah. That's the beginning of like me getting really into self-recording a lot too. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes I can do graphic design stuff too. So he brings me on board of the label to do graphic design for our like covers and shit for artists. And
what's the name of the label just for the listeners?
Sonderhaus. It's called Sonderhaus.
Okay.
Spaced out of Saugerties, and now it's like I don't know how many artists we've put out, but it's crazy, and it's all pretty much digital, you know, digital releases and streaming stuff. But what's interesting is like labels back in the day, it centered around the physical, you know, the vinyl or the tape or the CD or whatever, and now the digital is driving enough like sales and generating enough money to get physical, you know what I mean?
Gotcha,
like a Spotify label can make enough money that they can then put out vinyl.
Yeah,
you know, and it's crazy to see shit like that happen.
Yeah, well, that's I mean, there's so much, but I had someone the other day be like, dude, you sound like a Spotify advertisement, you know, because I got all this new music coming out and I'm just pushing it on Spotify,
right?
And it kind of like, you know, just like...
Oh, they mean like you sound like a spokesman for Spotify because
talk about Spotify. And it sucks because I don't like Spotify. I'm not a big fan of like their business model or how they treat artists. Or, you know, like the end of year... Speaking of unpaid interns, I found out that their end of year whole...
The year-end review, what is it called?
It's just like free marketing for them all over Instagram.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That was developed by an unpaid intern that they didn't give a job to.
Boo.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean, might need to fact check that, but I've heard that from like a pretty like reliable source.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I only huck on Spotify.
But the thing is about Spotify, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries.
Is it's the only one that actually has like a somewhat social platform, and the algorithm plays into the sociability of like following and downloading and all this stuff, to where it's like you can actually, if you wanted to, go out there on Reddit or whatever and start building communities based around playlists and things
totally.
Like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean,
you
like,
can't really do that with Apple Music. Like, there's playlists, but like I don't know how to do that. So
it's doable, but all that started like post Spotify. Totally. Like the sharing and social nature of it, like everybody saw what was going on and was like, oh shit, us too. Yeah,
totally.
But yeah, it's like I mean, so I didn't give a shit about playlist stuff until I was like, oh, I can, this is a way to make money, pretty mm-hmm. much.
And there's not many ways to make money as a musician.
No. Like,
the realistic the reality of
it. Well, yeah, and this is the weird way that it's, what it's turned into.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, I get hit up all the time. And like, I have playlists, but I only really made these playlists to like boost my music, honestly.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean? And like, well, some of them. And I get hit up all the time. And it's like, I get hit up for people to add, for me to add their stuff to my playlist. And it's just like, it's so much now. It's like, that is an integral part of like a PR campaign. Oh, you know what I mean? Is like hitting up, like cold calling people about their playlists.
Oh, totally. My publicist and my social media person, that like my favorite emails I get from them is when they're saying like, got you added to these playlists, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Cause like, and even if it's just like fractions of a penny, I know it's like, but that's, it's all kind of like adding up to the potential momentum in which like the Spotify editorial team's like, oh, that track's doing well or whatever. And then that, cause like that's the shot that we have. That's like,
well, there's all, it's cool. It's cool that way. It's also just cool that it's like with Grandpa Jack, it's like, we don't really get enough streams to really make any money. Right. Mm-hmm. But I'll get put on some playlist and it's like, it's literally like some person really likes this type of music in bumfuck nowhere, Idaho,
mm-hmm.
and people like their playlist and it just like blows up and it's like, oh, that's cool. You know what totally. I mean? Like that people in Idaho are listening to this, I guess, or, you know, whatever.
100%. That's the wild thing is I've been doing, like on my Patreon or like on the podcast, I'll do shout outs for patrons that are like $10 a month or more. That's part of what you get is like a personal shout out on the podcast.
Like, hey, thanks, Leslie.
Yeah, totally. And I've been thinking about, you know, because I do a little story about the person with each one. And so like some of, like my friend Sarah a few weeks ago, I was just thinking about, or no, it wasn't my friend Sarah. It was Caroline. Yeah.
Oopsies.
Anyways, no, but like, she found me through some, like, through Pandora Radio, like 7 years ago or something like that, you know, where it's just like,
yeah,
oh, this is
crazy.
A person that heard one of my songs on Pandora Radio years ago and has stayed in touch with me and become a
that's
fan
cool.
to where she like traveled multiple times, has traveled like round trip, like 3 hours from Minneapolis where she lives to like this place that I live like 3 hours outside of Minneapolis.
Damn.
Like, you know what I mean? And it's just
that's
like,
cool.
That was just because some algorithm happened to put me in front of her.
I think my most, the stat I find most rewarding is because like Realizer and like these ambient things and blah, blah, blah. It's like, for lack of a better word, I'm making like passive listening. You know what I mean? It's
totally.
Like yoga. I mean, whatever. But when I get stats for Shazams.
Oh, yeah.
That feels good because I'm like, oh shit, somebody heard it and was like, what, who is this, you know?
Yeah.
And but like other than that, it's like, I don't know, you're riding this weird wave, algorithm wave of like, oh, for whatever reason Wednesday people were feeling very homey or whatever.
Totally.
You know, like
for, yeah, and then there'll be these random peaks of like one random day in the middle of nowhere, like all of a sudden my plays will just triple.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just one outlier day in like the day. It's like, oh, that, I don't know. You're just like, why did my,
yeah,
why did everything just like, it's like every person
who
who's
knows?
Ever heard my music listened to three times the amount of my songs that they do in one day. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is probably really boring. This is like too inside baseball for anyone listening. I'm just like, dude, we don't give a fuck. It just, no, but it's so weird that like so much of what we think about and what we deal with has absolutely nothing to do with music at this point.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like always been that way, but it used to be like going to shows and being social and being a part of a community and a scene.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like messaging people on Reddit about their playlist that they posted.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been slacking on it, and it's because it kind of sucks doing
it. Because it's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like cold calling people. And like, God forbid, like this poor guy who had this random playlist just blow up. His inbox, yeah. Just some old dude, his inbox is just inundated with randos hitting him up being like, hey, I really like your blah, blah, blah playlist. Can you please add my music?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen where they're like, they change their photo or they like... They'll put like, please don't contact me about this playlist. Like it was an accident. It was like, totally. Please make it
some
stop.
Poor grandpa.
Yeah.
No, totally. And the thing that sucks about that, I think about that a lot, especially having been involved in like this, like the DIY music scene since I was like a literal teenager, like 16 years old, and watching it go through all these different like evolutions and stages. What's funny is like there's the internet there will always be an unlimited number of people hucking their music at you.
Always.
No matter what platform you create, they will come. You build it, they will come. And the problem is, the thing that sucks the most about it is like, and like, I'm not trying to be a dick right now, but like 10% of music that is made is worth listening to.
Oh.
And like,
no, I mean, like, I don't think that's there's just like so much being
bad,
made.
Mediocre music out there that like, I don't know, people don't, that it's hard for me to get people to fucking pay attention when I'm putting out something that I fucking love. Like that I'm
well,
really proud
they love
of.
Their shitty music too.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like I don't know. And it seems like every company is set up to take advantage of, like, nobody's out there to help actual artists in a way.
It's a shit ton of third-party people that are just picking, you know, plucking out pennies here and there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, whether it's distro or whether it's, oh, like, sign up for us and we'll advertise your music to these 400 playlists. Like, it's just another spammy thing. And they're like, cha-ching, you owe us $20. You know,
totally.
Like,
yeah, and it's really weird that it's like, very, I don't know. It's a weird time.
See.
Yes.
Yes,
see. But it's like, I also am really glad I'm not just sitting there waiting for some asshole from a record label to like somehow discover me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like glad it's not the 80s, because that's also like, I guess we just keep playing shows and like one day the owner of the record label is going to walk in and be like, hey, well, I'll dig what you're doing, kid. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad I'm not doing that. Like my old band... We played like a record label an industry showcase in LA at one point at like Knitting Factory, and it's supposed to be like, it was like a big deal, like Atlantic Records put on this fucking showcase or whatever.
Nice.
And we were fucking stoked, we're excited, got every single person we knew in the LA area to come out to it, which is like 15-20 people, and you know, and then there's people there just because it was like a monthly showcase, and like not a single person from any record label showed up. Not even the person from the record label who set it up showed up.
Why?
No idea. No idea. Like,
damn, that was your shot, dude. Yeah,
no, it was just, I mean, this is like 2008, 2009, you know? So, like, it was back when, like, I don't know, when that kind of still mattered.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember being so devastated and now being like, I'm so glad that that's not what I'm... trying, like, yeah, I want to play shows that people come to and have a great time at, but whether some asshole in a suit's there enjoying themselves or thinks they can make some money off of it, like, I don't really...
Well, I think a lot of the bigger artists that are doing cool stuff are just, like, they're doing it on their own, you know what I mean? And, like, or they've, like, made a name for themselves doing it by themselves, and it's just like, oh, okay, and then they get attention... You know,
and now they're like, I've got a bunch of money now to just keep doing the cool shit that I've been doing.
Or I've got a network of dope artists. It's like, oh, you know who would be great for bass on this? This person. Or, oh, you know who I'm going to get produce this beat or whatever, you know?
Yeah, for sure. No, that's true. That's something kind of little transition I wanted to, like, something about, like, a compliment for you is, like, something that I've always really liked about how you kind of carry yourself or compose yourself as far as, like... Like, you like to have a good time, and things are going to be okay. Like, don't stress about it. Don't overthink everything. Like, and you're kind of like, you're like, okay, I'm going to quit this job, even though it pays really well. I'm going to quit it. And then, like, nope, we're going to lay you off a month ahead of time with, like, an extra bonus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And things kind of, like, and I'm not saying that things just work out for you, because, like, you work really hard for things.
Right.
But there's something to be said about your confidence and your not stressed about it, like no worries attitude to where things kind of just work out. Can you speak to that at all? Or
So you're definitely not the first person to say that. And every time somebody says it, I'm like, what? Like, cause like I am panic mode a lot.
At all times.
Yeah. Like right now I'm freaking out. No, but like, I think I say it a lot to other people. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm offering reassurance a lot that things are going to be okay. Shit's not going to be okay, Chuck. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But like, I think, I don't know. I'm good at, like, I'm not going to starve. That is not something that will probably ever happen to me. You know, and if that's the threshold, like, things could be way worse for us. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You're warm right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think...
My radiator stopped working, so I've got a personal space heater in my room. You know, like...
Still could be worse. Couldn't have... Maybe you didn't have that personal...
No, but that's what I'm saying. Is, like, that's how good things are.
It's yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's arguably better. Like, that's a personal space heater, you know? Like, designed just for you.
Yeah, radiator's just, like...
That's everyone's heat.
That's heats the whole fucking house, as far as I'm concerned. Fuck everyone else.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, these could always be a lot worse. And right now it's like at the end of the day I get to play guitar and drums and stuff and do it all the time or as much as I have the motivation to do, and that's pretty dope, you know?
Yeah, totally. No, that's really dope. What have things as far as, like, what have you learned in the past, like, since you started Dead Seconds and you've been going to, like, you were going to open mics and, like, your just career has, like, evolved in a lot of ways. What have you learned about kind of, like, not being afraid to start anew or not being afraid to, like, leave something behind or set it down for a little while?
Well, I think a big, like, once I started doing the Realizer stuff, I kind of realized, like, I either, you know, like, nobody's, like, anxiously waiting for my new shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, why not just put shit out all the time? You know what I mean? Like, why? Totally. Like, it's art. Like, whatever. Just whatever genre, whatever you're feeling, just, like, there's no reason not to release it. Like, none of it is invalid in any way.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
So, like... With Dead Seconds, that was like me. I was like writing the stuff and booking the shows and it was a lot of like self-appointed stress. And then, you know, since being in Grandpa Jack and doing other stuff and more collaborative stuff, it's just fun to like not, you know, I guess to answer your question, what I've learned is like you find people that you want to work with and you just ride that. And see where that goes, whether it's a booking person or blah, blah, blah. Because back in the day with Dead Seconds, so like started out doing open mics and then started doing through these booking people, which are essentially like a form of like email spam.
Yeah.
Like Dead Seconds is psychedelic in that it has trippy parts. You know what I mean? But we'd get put on these bills that it's like psych night at blah, blah, blah. And there's nobody there. And we're playing with like a psychedelic vibraphone band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like literally somebody saw like a hashtag and was like, oh, you guys, yeah. And I'm taking half of the money you make, which is nothing.
Yeah. You know, like, totally. And unless you bring 13 and a half people, in which case we'll give you like one half more drink ticket per third person.
And you gotta pay the bouncer.
And 50 cents, but you gotta tip the bouncer for every like 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, find people that you like to collaborate with and that you trust.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And don't be afraid to trust people, but don't be afraid to not trust people.
Yeah, because sometimes you gotta some people suck.
Yeah, oh, for sure, especially when it comes to musicians. Like,
that's
a lesson I learned early on.
Or they lie, or you know they don't say they're gonna do what
they're flaky.
They don't do what they said.
No, it's one of those things where you find, at least for me, when I find musicians that I vibe with well and that, or that I like, I don't know, that I know aren't going to just, at the end of the day, fuck me over. It's like my relationship with them is just so much stronger. Yeah, you know, totally. And whether they're people I like collaborate with or play with, or they're just homies. Because like it is Jericho, when I had him on the show, Jericho Davidson, who we're both friends with.
Yeah, but, I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he'll be back in town in a few days, Sick. Which is exciting. But he was like, man, playing music and doing comedy was just my way of, I always wanted to be a pirate. And he's like, this is just
he would make a real good pirate.
He would have made a killer pirate.
Yeah. I mean, he's still young enough. He can still be a pirate.
He can still be a pirate. Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying he can't, but no, it's one of those things that it's like, yeah, you're right. In these industries and entertainment, especially like underground DIY music and comedy, we are like pirates in a lot of ways. And there's a lot of fucking scallywags out there.
A lot of scallywags. And I just came here to swashbuckles, man.
Yeah. I'm just trying to swashbuckles. I'm not trying to wag any scallies.
Yeah. People can shave off money here and there via their flakiness and do it enough to earn a living. You know, like, it's possible.
Yeah. No, it is definitely possible. What do you... With all your different music projects, is your process any different? How do they, is it all kind of similar? Like, how do they differ? And
like the creative process?
Yeah, the process of like creating and how you get from like fucking around on a guitar on the drums to like end product.
They're all really different. It's like, so Realizer, that's like meditation music stuff. It's like, I don't really listen to music like that, right? Mm-hmm. But I sit down and I play guitar, and in theory, I'm meditating. I'm zoning out for like 30, 45 minutes and just trying to emote and play pretty stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what it does for me. And that's how I write that stuff. It's like, oh, cool, basically like I improv and I just start tightening it up and like getting, like delving into what the idea is or what the sonic motif is. And then I'm like, cool, that's a song.
Okay, yeah.
Grandpa Jack is like jamming with the boys, and just sort of talking stuff out and trying different stuff and squishing random riffs together.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of those lyrics and most of the vocals are me and the guitarist, other vocalist Johnny, like freestyling, vocal melodies, screaming nonsense, and then getting used to what, to a melody and then writing real words to it, basically.
Okay, cool.
Or maybe like we'll do it so many times that we realize that Johnny is actually saying a phrase here, and that's a good starting off point, and we'll branch out in either direction and be like, okay, well, that's the chorus. We're talking about rocks and bones and dirt. So like, what are we, you know, like,
yeah,
what's the idea, right?
Totally.
Then the newer, I'm working on a couple new EPs that'll be under my own name. And those are called Creepshow, Peepshow, Act 1 and 2. And that's going to be, like, that is pretty much me writing all the music ahead of time. And now I'm going back and recording and writing lyrics.
So as writing it all ahead of time, you mean, like, you write a full song on guitar, and then you go through and record all the instruments for it?
Yeah, well, it's because I kind of, like, have to in a way. You know what I mean? Like... Because I'm doing drums and bass and guitar on it, and like, I can't do those things at the same time and imagine what I would sing over it, right?
Totally, yeah.
So I kind of have to like set the foundation, and then because like, I don't know, maybe the drums drop out for a bar, and that'd be a cool spot to sing something or to yell or whatever. So yeah, and some of those started with drums first, which is cool, is fun, a fun way to write.
Yeah,
I'll write weird grooves and stuff and weird syncopated stuff, and then record usually guitar next.
I really want to try that at some point.
It's fun.
I have two goals of trying to write more songs from a piano,
mm-hmm.
just because I just, you know, you play guitar long enough, sometimes you start feeling like, I'm just doing the same shit.
Yeah, I totally feel like
that. And not that I'm afraid to do that, because I think... You can do so many things with a fucking E minor chord, but
totally.
But it's like, sometimes it's like, oh man, I'm not getting any ideas. Switch to a piano. That I want to try more of that.
Yeah.
But then, rhythm, starting up off a song with a rhythm, or like, I've got lyrics in mind or whatever. Like, even if I have a full song written, and just being like, okay, no, I'm going to scrap all of that, but like this thing, and I want to start again with what the drums are doing.
That's that doing that sort of like shedding how you usually write music has been a big part of the stuff that I've been doing lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like the new Matt C. White stuff, Creepshow Peep Show, that's all on baritone guitar, and that was it makes you play a different way. Totally. It's different, you know what I mean?
It's like picking up someone else's acoustic guitar.
You write I play differently. Yeah. And then I have another thing with Jared from Grandpa Jack and a friend of ours, Sean, who plays trumpet and keys. And that all started, like, the seed of every song is coming from drums.
Mm.
Coming from drums and, like, how long does the groove go? What feels right? You know, long enough for you to sink in but not get bored, blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
And then I basically just gave those beats to Jared. And I remember the first one, he was like, well, what key should I play in? And I was like, I don't care. Because if I pick a key and I blah, 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 I'm going to do my normal guitar tendencies. I was just like, here's the drums. We'll just take that as the spine.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want. And then he would just zone out and he would just record bass. And then I would layer guitar. And then our homie Sean would rip trumpet and spacey keyboard stuff over it.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that
to
one.
Hear more of that. Because what I've heard, what like Jared briefly showed me, and just based on talking to you guys about it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be kind of...
It's right fun, man. It's like zone out. Kind of feels like baby making music.
Yeah,
like there's enough wah, you know?
Totally.
And it's like very like repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then trumpets are just so classy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like this is the classiest music it's I've
like,
ever made.
It seems like it's going to sit in this weird like... psychedelic funk,
yeah,
but like with like a jazz hint to it. I'm just picturing like, and what little bit I've heard, I'm like,
and
I'm
then
excited.
It's got like, it'll have like a, I got like congas, mm-hmm, and like cowbell grooves, oh, and cool stuff. Like Sean plays in a band called Super Yamba Band.
Oh yeah, I know them.
Yeah,
I know Sean's in that band.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
So Sean comes from like Afrobeat.
Yeah,
land, right?
Like, what, fucking Eric is their drum leader, I think.
Well, I don't know. I only know Sean.
Okay.
But he plays keys and trumpet in Yamba. So, like, he'll, like, one-hand it and, like, play keys and play trumpet, whatever.
Fuck yeah.
And then, so we just met him at, like, Birdie's or something. Like, that's where I first met him.
Uh-huh.
And we just started talking, and there's just this layer of, like, sophistication that is Sean, you know, and groove and stuff, and it's cool.
That's really cool. I'm excited for that. What's that called?
San Salvo.
San Salvo. Cool.
Yeah. It's coming out February 12th.
Okay. This episode will come out after that.
Okay.
So everyone go check out San Salvo. Spell it for everyone.
S-A-N space S-A-L-V-O.
Just as it sounds.
Just as it sounds. And the EP is called Rarities.
Rarities. Dope. Yeah. No, that I'm really excited for that. I listened to Creepshow Peep Show Volume 1 today, and I'm stoked. It's more... classic Matt C. White, like,
yeah, it's
heavy,
like exactly
weird,
what I want to like, do. Yeah, spooky, it's theremin, it's vibes, creepy organ, and fuzzy baritone.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking dope. I'm excited for it.
Thanks, man.
Let's see what else have we got as far as I think there's something to be really said about how you realized with Realizer. Like that, not overthinking it and just kind of like putting stuff out is the move. And I think that there's some, like, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever the age that we're in right now, like, it's actually really beneficial to be prolific and to be putting out a lot of stuff because the algorithms and whatnot are going to favor you. People's attention spans don't last.
Totally.
And I'm like the classic person. I put out like my last LP in 2017 and now my next one's coming out 2021.
Yeah, but you're doing it as Charles Ellsworth, you know what I mean? Like doing it under your own name, right?
Yeah.
That is when I stopped caring, is when I had that like anonymity.
And different like, moniker, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's not me, it's some dude named Realizer, you know, like I'm not constantly talking about Realizer, you know, I'm not like
totally
trying to advertise it all that much because it's like, you know, it's self-sufficient.
No, that's true. But there's something that, at least for me personally, because I overthink everything way too much, and it's like, how fine can the teeth on this comb get as I'm going through these lyrics and all this stuff? And I, and I love doing that. But also at the end of the day, it's like putting out an LP every 4 years isn't going to work in 2021. Like these days, it's not the way to do it. So, and I think I'm getting better about it. But do you have any advice for anyone trying to be more prolific or...
Well, what I'm doing with the Creepshow stuff is I'm definitely in the weeds a bit with lyric stuff on it. But it's like, I think having a good mix of songs, it's like, okay, this one I'm really going to spend a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really going to see how fine the teeth of that comb can get.
Yeah.
But with this one, this is just a fun time song.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's done.
Totally.
Like, it's, you know, like I have a song on the second half of Creepshow Peep Show, and I was just like really drunk and just had the idea, and I was like, that's hilarious. I would like, cause there's like certain like Flaming Lips songs that I really like. And it's cause with every choice they made, you were like, these guys don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like totally. These guys do not care.
Yeah.
And that's fun. You know, like it's like a it's like anarchy. It's that's like rock whatever, and roll. You know,
it's like, that's, those are the classic stories you read about or you find out about, like, I think Sweet Child of Mine was like that riff was just like a finger exercise that slashed it.
Oh, that's funny.
And they needed like a new single because their record label was like, I don't hear a single on this record. And so then they just labels. Like farted out that song.
That's funny.
And it's like the most popular song that's crazy. Fucking Guns N' Roses ever made. And it's like, you know, and there's a lot of examples of that throughout rock history. And I think part of that is just keeping in mind, like, yeah, rock and roll is about not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Or documenting a moment where you really didn't give a fuck. And then maybe, like, you know, finesse or whatever.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. But, like, it's got to come through in the performance. That's something that I'm getting better at. And now that I'm recording a lot of my own stuff and with this last record, or the one that's coming out or will be out soon or whatever, Honeysuckle Summer, out March 5th, everywhere. No, like it was finally about like being confident enough as a musician and a songwriter and just myself as a performer being able to be like, no, what I do on stage, I'm going to do that in the vocal booth or like,
oh yeah,
you know, like it's, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it comes through in the performance. And part of that is like, whether you call it not giving a fuck or giving a whole lot of fucks, it's like there's something there and it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to capture that.
For sure. I mean, like, so, like, I was talking about that one not give a fuck song. It's, like, it's called Mr. Bloody Bones. And, like, Bloody Bones is, like, this Southern folklore. He's essentially, like, boogeyman type character. And I just had this idea and I had this, like, catchy line in my head. And I was, like, what if he's just, like, misunderstood and, like... Leave Mr. Buddy Bones alone.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's my homie.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, he doesn't mean it.
Just a
you know?
Sad guy.
Yeah. And so the capturing the fuck it with those vocals is like, I'm about to scream in my apartment right now. And I have to actually be like, fuck it. I'm screaming, like, about some Bloody Bones guy. Like, you know, like, everybody on my floor can hear this happening. You know? Like, you do have to actually be like, fuck it. You
know?
Like,
totally. No, there's something about being able to actually scream and like really project.
Yeah.
Like kind of taking it to that next level. Like, fuck it. Just.
It's fun, man. Yeah, we already talked about it, but screaming rules.
Yeah. I'm trying to play more music where I get to sing. Like, I'm trying to record a whole lot of really, really pretty folk music that's just like really sparse that I do.
Yeah.
And I like record most everything. Uh-huh. And I'm approaching different like... cover songs and stuff like that way, just as like an exercise, but then also trying to be like, I want to make some like just fucking like, I don't know, stuff that I can just huck it on.
Yeah.
And then I really want to one day make like a really just over the top just fucking country record, like,
because
I'm not like country, but I am
but
it's like that weird thing where people are like, he's not country enough, and I'm just like, oh fuck, I'm just gonna make like the most Hank Williams-y just like fucking shit eating grinning just drunk on a fucking lawnmower, like, it's gonna be fucking
beer
great.
On a Tuesday night.
I got one line for one of the songs. It's gonna be, if I need a, or if the third time's a charm, I'm gonna need a second chance. That's a great country line.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Heartbreak. Heartbreak in hotels.
Well, I feel pretty good about this. How you have anything you wanna, any advice you wanna give? Anything you wanna plug?
I think we plugged pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's new Matt C. White coming out, or it's already out, depending on when this comes out. There'll definitely be San Salvo out.
Mm-hmm.
There's new Grandpa Jack in the works.
And old Grandpa Jack, if you're not familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to Grandpa Jack.
We have like an acoustic EP, an electric EP, an electric LP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff. Realizer is probably just popping up in your Spotify.
Yeah, radio, I mean, you're probably already listening to that. Yeah.
Spotify just fucking serving that up to the masses. Yeah.
Cozy fireplace morning.
Yeah. Well, man, this has been great. It's been so great to catch up with you, too. It's been too fucking long.
Yeah, it has been too long.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for joining. And this is Dirtbag's Guide to Life on the Road. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/Charles Ellsworth. And until next time, safe travels.
Bye.